Well, I want to thank you for joining today. So thanks for being here. You don't know what it really means to me that you guys do this. Some folks have been asking about my beard and growing my little ring hair over here. A number of years ago, a couple of years ago, a young child, probably about 3 or 4, prayed for my head to grow hair. Okay, whatever. Anyway, it was really cool. And I'm starting to feel hair grow up here, but it's not enough. And I'm just praying to God. But also, I have a couple friends that have babies that are that have been diagnosed with brain cancer. They have tumors in their brain, and so they had to shave their heads. And because my head was already bald, I told them that I would grow my hair, until the end of November, and then I had a chance to get a part in a movie that they were filming here, and I didn't get the part, but so I kept shaving. So I'm kind of starting this now. I'll keep it trimmed, but I'll have some facial hair for about a month. Okay. Now, I want to go back to Luke chapter 8, if you want to go with me. It's important. We're going to talk about these things. And we need to talk about them because they're so important. You got to understand the background. All right. Jesus just finished feeding 5,000 people. Now, we don't know the timeline here, how long it took. But right after he finished feeding them, he finished feeding them and he said, let's get on the boat and let's go to the other side of the lake. So they go to the other side of the lake and there's a guy there who is demon possessed. Now you remember inside the lake, there was a storm that had been violent. And so much so that these fishermen it was amazing, but these fishermen were scared. Jesus was asleep. And they wake him up, and Jesus, gets up and he rebukes the wind, and he tells them, where did you leave your faith? I said we were going to the other side, and they were going to get there either above the water, under the water, or in the boat. It didn't matter. They were going to go there. And they were going to be there. And he said, well, so where did you leave your faith? Now, he also did that because he had given them authority over these things earlier. Okay. Now, these are my reading glasses and I'm looking and my eyes look like really huge, but it's funny. Anyway. So they go there and there's this demon possessed guy and he's crying out to be set free. All right. He had been tied down with chains, and he would break through the chains. And so what's happening is this man inside himself I want to be free, but the demons were so violent against him that the people kept him tied down. And doesn't it feel that way sometimes with you and I? Doesn't it feel like we want to be free, but we're just being set back a lot of times by the people around us? Now, yeah, don't get me wrong. They were scared of him because he was going to beat him up and all that. But understand this. I understand that you want to be free. People around you want freedom from their addictions. They want to be free from their torment, from their pains. But they don't know how to do it. And the enemy and people around them keep pushing them back and keep tying them up with their words. They keep tying them up. They don't use chains on the people, but it's almost like that emotionally where people can't get out. And then comes Jesus. And they say to him, he says to them, what have you come here to do? We know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus tells him to be quiet, and he asks him his name, and he says, our name is Legion, which is, thousands of demons. So this man was violently possessed by demons. And you can be overcome with situations in your life. You can be overwhelmed with situations in your life. On a regular basis, you can be discouragement. For me, it's finances. And every time the enemy wants to get me down, he always brings up a financial need, like something will happen, and I'll have to have money for it. And then I get discouraged because, it's like, oh no, this is on me. I got to take care of this thing. And the enemy wants us tied up, but inside my soul wants to be free. And just like this guy, his soul wants to be free. But nobody was going to help him because of who he was and what he could do to them. There are people around you that want to get free of their porn addiction. There are people around you that want to get free of their nicotine addiction. There are people that want to get free from their from their drug addiction, from their domestic violence addiction. And I want to tell you something. God is saying to you that it's only in Jesus and not in people who keep telling you you've got a problem. Jesus knows you have your problem, but what he does is he turns around and he says, come out of him and go into the pigs. So what you have to do is you have to have an encounter with Jesus. Get on your knees, get on your, lay down, whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, get into your position of soaking before the Lord and say, Jesus, I need you. And I'm telling you, he will set you free and he will prove himself faithful to you. See, one of my issues with preachers today, and it has been throughout my 47, 48 years of being a believer, has been that they never tell you that they're going through things. Almost like if you're going through something, you can't live up to it, or that you're not called into the ministry. But I want to tell you, every minister, every Christian goes through something. I love Joel Osteen. I love his encouraging words. I don't like when people judge him, but I like the word that he has to say. But hear what I'm going to say here. It's going to be a little controversial. But that man has issues. I don't know what they are, but he has issues. Benny Hinn has issues. Billy Graham had issues. And it was only Jesus that gave them the ability to walk through those things. And yeah, that's true. While they have to protect their image, it makes a life in Jesus difficult for regular people like you and I. I mean, I would love to know, T.D. Jakes is very free with some of the things that he walks through. He's very free. And it makes Christianity and it makes Jesus in them real. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker had to have an image. And so they didn't share the issues. And I'm not saying you have to share your issues, all those issues publicly. But I have to know, and people need to know, that you go through things and I go through things just like everybody else does. But we make it. I love my pastors here. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I love my pastors here. And all of them have no problem talking about some things that they have to walk through in discouragement and everything else. Because you get discouraged. I get discouraged. Is Jesus real in your discouragement? Now, again, I'm not talking about sharing their sins. I'm talking about, when they're down, what do you do when you're down? Okay. And one of my pastors here, he says, when he's out of it, he starts reading the prophetic words that have been given to him. And he has notebooks of them. He has them in his iPad and he has notebooks of them and he just reads them. I didn't want to talk about this, but here we are. And then this guy gets healed, and everybody around him was shocked because this guy is now clothed and speaking in his right mind. Do you see, when you get close to Jesus and when you get your encounter with the Lord, you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you realize that you do have the mind of Christ. You don't have the mind of the enemy anymore. You have been given the mind of Christ, past tense. When you gave your heart to Jesus, he gave you his heart, he gave you his mind, and can I say he gave you his DNA? And every day we are being molded into his image. That is our destiny. That is, we have been predestined to share in the likeness of his son. That's what it says in Romans 8:29. So then the guy wants to follow Jesus at the end, and he begged him. He said, please let me be with you. And he says, no. Return to your home and to your family and tell them all the wonderful things God has done for you. You want to know what you could do? You can go. You can tell the wonderful things of what God's done for you. How do you be transformed by the renewing of your mind? You be transformed by the renewing of your mind by getting into the Word of God, reading your Bible. Start thinking the way Jesus thinks, because again, you have, past tense, been given the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. So start disciplining yourself to think like he thinks, and you have this book to help you. So this is what Jesus is coming out of. And then he returns to Galilee, and the crowds were like so amazed, because they had been waiting for him to arrive. And then Jairus, who was a synagogue official, and can I say he was a man of stature, came to Jesus. And we talked about it yesterday, this story, a little bit. And I want to look at Jairus here. He's a synagogue official, and he comes to Jesus, and he's desperately begging him to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter. Are you desperate before the Lord? Now, I'm not saying you have to beg him. God's not Baal, where you have to, or Baal, however you want to pronounce it. God's not, somebody you have to beg to minister to you. He's promised it. He's your loving father. He's with you. He knows everything you need before you ask, but ask. Get desperate before him. I don't know that answer, Hilda. I don't know if he did, but I know that a lot of people wanted to have Billy Graham's taxes released, and Billy Graham gladly did it because they thought he was cheating the government, but he wasn't. So it was kind of cool, but I don't know about that. I didn't read that. Anyway, so Jairus comes, and he's desperate before the Lord. He is desperate before the Lord. And what happened here is that he said, listen, desperately begging him to come and heal his daughter. Jesus, come! He's begging him and begging him. Jesus doesn't want you to beg. Just come to him. When you come to him, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. He begged him to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter. And so Jesus started to go with him home to see her. And then this crowd came, and we talked about this woman yesterday. So think about Jairus for a second. Think about Jairus, a synagogue official, and they were men of stature in the community. And Jesus is leaving. And then there's this huge crowd that's pressing in on Jesus. They keep pushing, they keep bumping into him. And then this woman touches him. And now think about this. He's desperate for Jesus. You got to get to my house before my daughter dies. And then there's this woman who has been suffering for as long as this young girl had been alive. Jairus' daughter was 12 at the time. This woman's been suffering 12 years with a blood issue, and nothing helped her. She went broke dealing with this blood issue that she had, and nothing was helping her. So there she is, and she comes. And she interrupts this whole parade. And it had to be frustrating for Jairus, because Jairus is in a hurry. He doesn't know how long his daughter's got. He doesn't know. He's never heard of the resurrection of the dead yet, even though it's in the Old Testament of people being raised from the dead. Elijah, Elisha, you know, different people raised from the dead. That's cool. You can read it in the Bible. There's about 10 people that got raised from the dead. Eutychus was one of them. The widow's only son was one. We'll find out about this girl. You know, Dorcas. Peter raises her from the dead. I mean, I think there's, if I counted correctly, there are 10 in the Bible that have been raised from the dead. Old Testament and New Testament. Before and after Jesus died. And Jairus is frustrated. I would be frustrated. Come on, Jesus, we got to get to my daughter. You know how it is when you're driving in traffic? You have to get someplace and then there's an accident or there's construction or anything. I mean, Seattle's the worst place. I've driven on in LA one time, not driven, but I've been in a car in LA once. But my driver, he knew how to get around it. But in Seattle, there are places you just can't get around it. You're stuck. Down by McCord Air Force Base and up on 405 up in Seattle. Those of you in Seattle know what I'm talking about. The Fife Curve, you know. Anyway, you know how it is when you're in a hurry and you get stopped or something happens. Jairus is in a hurry. Yep, the Valley of Dry Bones. We talked about that yesterday. And Jairus is in a hurry. But Jesus isn't in a hurry because he knows what's going to happen. He knows what he can do. And this woman gets healed, and then he has an argument with his disciples. What do you mean, who touched you? Somebody touched me, man. I felt healing leave my body. This woman confesses, they're talking, and then right after this incident, I mean, immediately after the woman, you know, Jesus looks at her and says, woman, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And then Jairus' servant comes and says, hey, listen, don't bother to teach her anymore. Your daughter is dead. And immediately Jesus felt this, but immediately, and it would happen to me too, Jairus loses hope. He despairs. He goes into discouragement and depression. And Jesus feels it. And Jesus says, Jairus, don't fear, only believe. Do not fear, Jairus, only believe. They get to his house. Jairus is like, oh, you know, I'm trying, Jesus. I mean, you've had those situations where you're trying to believe God for something good. You're trying to believe God for your children to be better. You're trying to believe God for all these. Yeah, that's good, Hilda. Yeah. In fact, we had a baby that, I'll get into this. We had a baby in December, 2-year-old, that just stopped breathing. And the family went after raising the dead, went after raising their daughter to dead, from the dead. And for about 2 weeks, we prayed and we fasted and we prayed and we worshiped, which was what the instructions were. And then, you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, the coroner suggested or recommended, you know, let it go. And they prayed again. And the Lord said, And the Lord told them, and I wasn't there, so I don't know, and I'm not Jesus, but I don't know, but I kind of feel like this is the case, that that God had asked the daughter if she wanted to go back, and she said no. And then so the mother and father were very comforted by the fact that their daughter just, you know, wanted to stay in heaven, even though it hurt very badly. And they took, you know, they took some months off, and then, you know, this thing that's going on happened. And I remember, back in Bonnie Lake, when I lived in Bonnie Lake, a young gal had been driving, and the road was wet, and her and her friend were in the car, and her car, she was driving too fast, and the car slid off the road and hit into a light pole, a power pole, and the daughter died, and the friend was still alive, and this. And this woman came to, you know, came and told the pastor, "Hey, listen, the baby died. We don't know what the baby died of. It wasn't released. But this girl died because of the power pole, and it just had this impact." And then the mother came to the pastor and said, "Pray for my daughter to be raised from the dead." And they didn't do it. And so I was in Europe at the time. Where was I? So Jairus is discouraged, and he goes to the house, and they have professional mourners all around. And Jesus said, "Get rid of all the unbelief. Get rid of all the unbelief. Get rid of the people that don't believe. She's not dead. She's only sleeping." And they said, "Come on. We know what dead is." So Jesus got rid of them. Took Jairus and Peter, I think it was Peter, James, and John, I'm not sure, I don't remember. And they went into the room, it's in chapter 8 of Luke. And they go in, and Jesus says to her, and I love it. Actually, I just love this phrase. He says to her, actually, he does take Peter, James, and John. And the name James is not a Hebrew name. No, that wasn't the one, Shauna. That was a different one. And I don't know, maybe she was. She was with, I don't remember her name. Sabrina and... I don't remember the names of the other two. They were Paul Ellis's daughters. So the daughter that was there, and I don't know. No, I don't think your sister was in that one. I'm not sure though. But anyway, going back to the story, Peter, James, and John. Now James is not a New Testament word. It's not a Hebrew name. But the name that was in the documents. Was the name Jacob. So anyway, they said, "Stop crying. She's not dead. She's just asleep and must be awakened." And they laughed at him, knowing for certain that she had died. Jesus approached the body, took the girl by the hand, called out with a loud voice. I love this. "My sleeping child, awake, rise up." Instantly, her spirit returned into her body and she stood up. Jesus directed her stunned parents and gave her something to eat and ordered them not to tell anyone what just happened. Don't tell anybody. What? This little girl. Everybody that knew that this girl was dead are going to say something to somebody. You know, it's just funny. In this chapter, you have to realize that there are four great miracles. He stilled the wind, cast out the demon, he healed that hemorrhaging woman, and then he healed this dead kid and raised him up. And I got to tell you that God is starting to raise up again. And I'm sharing these stories with you because these are real people. No, I don't think so, Hilda. I don't think that he said that so people would tell. I believe that he just did not want to, it's a little different in our society because whenever, you know, and I see a lot of videos of people that get healed and the people that healed them or the people that were used to heal them get the credit. But Jesus was just like, listen, don't tell anybody because you know what's going to happen is that everybody's going to come to these people's houses and they're going to want to see this child. But believe me, he just told them, hey, listen, don't do it. He told the guys that he healed of leprosy. He said the 10 lepers that came to him, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. The one guy in Matthew chapter 8 at the beginning, he got healed of leprosy. He goes and go show the priest, present your offering and go show the priest. Okay. Now you have to understand too that Jairus here is a priest. He's a synagogue official. So you got to know. And at that time, they had Sadducees and Pharisees, and the difference was that the Sadducees only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament, and the Pharisees believed in the whole Old Testament, and the whole Torah. And the Sadducees didn't believe in angels and demons, and they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So, can you imagine the fighting that would have taken place if they had heard that somebody was raised from the dead? And then when Jesus rose from the dead. That was a different story. So, understanding all of that, and plus, I don't think Jesus was looking to be popular. He was just looking to be to love individuals. He was looking to minister to individuals, not to crowds. Even though he did crowds, his heart was for each individual person. See, anyway, so Jairus has his daughter back. So I want you to think of, and I know we got a little rabbit trails here, but I want you to look at Jairus's emotional turning point. He's in an emergency state. He comes to Jesus and he's panicking and he's anxious. All right, I had an EMS friend who said that, remember that like when you're dealing with an emergency situation, remember, it is their emergency, not your emergency, so that you can keep your head together in the midst of all of this. Okay? You got to keep your head together. And you can't think when you're anxious. So Jairus comes, and he's anxious, and he's in an emergency situation. Jesus, come! And you get that way, right? And then there's a little bit of relief when Jesus says, I will come. And he gets up to leave with Jairus. And then this woman stops him. And then there's this panic again. And there's this, my daughter's going to, come on, you got to go. And then this woman gets healed. And Jairus is watching this. Jairus, can I say this? I'm going to go out on a limb because it's not in the Bible. But I believe that Jairus didn't really care about this hemorrhaging woman. His 12-year-old daughter is dead or dying. I have a friend who's a doctor in the hospital here in our city. And there was a man that came in and he was bleeding out. And he was talking about, you know, of course, the family of this person were anxious about his life until he lost his life. I remember when I was in Long Beach, Washington, and I would go to the hospital and I would pray for, you know, in the emergency room, and I would pray for people, and there were people would, you know, suicide was very rampant down there, and people would come in there and they would have gunshot wounds to the head and. You know, and the family would be in panic, and you just have to comfort them. We go through the panic, and we go through that emotion. And then we have a euphoric moment when we feel like Jesus is answering that. We get a prophetic word. We get a promise that God is coming. And then there's a delay. And then there's the panic again, and now there's discouragement because the time has supposedly passed. You have dreams and you have visions. You have desires. And you feel like time has passed. You feel like it's all been given up. It's over. Oh, look what I'm going to do. I'm going to be in the movies, or I'm going to be a singer, or I'm going to be an artist, or whatever. And then all of a sudden life happens and it's delayed, or it's been pushed aside. Your assignment isn't canceled. And you may feel the discouragement of that and the hopelessness in that. Maybe there's something in your body and you can't move it anymore and you can't do it anymore. You don't have the strength in your body. I know arthritis does that to people. You don't have a vision anymore. Oh, you got, man, I got kids all over the place. I got this going on. I got that going on. And I have to work overtime to make ends meet. Don't move to California if you need, you know, if you want to save money. And all of a sudden, the vision is over. There's nothing left. And then Jesus looks at you, and Jesus says, "Don't fear, only believe." Don't fear, only believe. What are you going through? When I was a young kid, I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be a songwriter. And I always had this contemplative part of my life. And that was put aside for a while. Now I got singing. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not the greatest singer. Well, have I been talking for a half hour? I am so sorry. God has given you dreams. God has given you visions. God has given you plans. God has given you desires. And you feel like they're dead. And Jesus is looking at you today and he says, "Don't fear, only believe." Prophesy to those dry bones. Like Ezekiel 37, prophesy to the dry bones. And they will become a mighty army, and you're going to see many, many people saved through the resurrection of your dreams. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. Well, God bless you. I talked a little long time today, but it's okay. And then today's Thursday, so we're going to see you same time, same channel tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.